Welcome to the podcast where heavy industrial industries meet the venture capital ecosystem, interviewing both thought-leading investors and pioneering founders to better understand the opportunities and challenges that lie ahead for digital industrial innovation. Your host is Ty Finley, and this is the Heavy Hitters Podcast.
Burchan Kaplanoglu joins us today from Chicago. Burchan is Vice President at Oracle, leading the Oracle Industries Innovation Labs network that spans across multiple Oracle business lines. With nearly two decades of experience in industrial operation and innovation, Burchan is a well-known thought leader in the innovation and startup community. He has been with Oracle over 3.5 years, where he's helped build the Oracle Industries Innovation Lab from the ground up. And before Oracle, he began his career as a civil engineer at Lendlease, where he spent 17 years working his way up from a project engineer to a vice president executive role. He has also been an adjunct professor at Northwestern University since 2008, teaching about the impact technology can have on industry from his own real-world experiences. Burchan, I miss the days of bumping into folks like you randomly at modular prefab facilities, but hopefully we'll be back in person soon enough, and I'm excited to have you on Heavy Hitters.
And thanks for the invitation. And yes, you're absolutely right. I miss the days where, you know, we would bump into each other too.
Great. Well, Burchan, walk our listeners through the background, and I gave a brief snapshot, but what led you into your current role leading and co-founding Oracle's Industries Innovation Labs?
Well, I think it's multiple things. And, you know, in your career, when you look back, you realize some of those things you actually have done in the past prepared you for your current role. And what I'm doing today is a good example of that. So I worked in the industry for a long time. I also received my PhD. I've been teaching at Northwestern over a decade, as you described earlier. And I was also running operations at Lendlease and worked there for almost 17 years and joined Oracle 3.5 years ago to lead innovation for a construction engineering business unit. That's the business unit that provides software solutions to do, you know, most of your majority of the listeners that's on this podcast. And as you know, as I was looking at this and my career was evolving, it led me to more of a tech role. And that was a career change, right? Going from operations to start working for one of the world's largest software companies. And as the labs evolved, my old role also changed. So I'm actually currently leading Oracle Industries Innovation Labs for multiple business lines at Oracle.
Great. And maybe then a great segue into about the labs. Tell us more about how the Innovation Labs got started, how your organization's activities roll up within a massive big tech company in order to support Oracle's future growth within these industrial industries.
So lab idea started, let me think about this. It was a discussion in January 2018. I was 6 months into my new role, and we were having a discussion about if we want to innovate, we have to have a physical environment to do that. Look, we're a software company, right? It's the technology, the people and the process is going to now enable industries to transform. But to improve the skills of the people and improve the process, we need to validate the technologies. We need to improve the processes. We need to improve the skills of the people in the physical world. So the idea was, why don't we just build a simulated construction site? That turned into a reality August 2018, I'll say 6-7 months after the idea. And we built a site in Chicago where we could co-innovate with customers and partners. And the construction site actually even exceeded our own expectations, because our original thought was, you know, we're going to build this in some ways our minimal viable product, similar to a startup, and see market's reaction, see how the ecosystem is going to react to it. We had tremendous success in terms of engagements. In the first 15 months, we actually had over 900 visitors, and they came from all around the world. We then actually, because, you know, relying on the success, we got funding to actually build a larger facility in Chicago. That construction is built in 2020. And, you know, since the opening, we actually had over 2,700 visitors. Just in 2020, we had 1,800 virtual visitors. And I say virtual because after, you know, February, most of pretty much all the visits has been virtual.
I'm not surprised. Chicago is my old stomping grounds. Anyone that has not been able to see the first site, it truly is impressive. And I've seen a lot of innovation and showcase sites for some of the folks in this industry. So no surprise there. And, you know, Bertrand, speaking of virtual visitors, our last run-in, I think, was actually our shared friend, Stacy Scapano. You were hosting a LinkedIn Live presentation to help disseminate innovation efforts to those who maybe can't be on site. And so that was probably ahead of the curve here. Do you mind just briefly telling us what that LinkedIn Live effort you run is and how folks can find your efforts online?
Absolutely. So I think I've done, 28 LinkedIn Lives. As the last one was actually last week on March 11. If the listeners follow me on LinkedIn, they'll be able to find those as a post after the event. And if they follow me, then it actually will show up while I'm live, and they can also follow the Oracle Construction Engineering LinkedIn page to actually do that. As you described, the idea was there's a lot of innovation happening in our space, and it's not limited to, you know, one person or a company. So I was trying to get it out there, and I've been a beta tester for LinkedIn Live for now almost a year and a half, and that was an opportunity to actually share with the industry. We do strongly believe, and I do especially, that, you know, in order to make that digital transformation, we have to share and work together.
No doubt. You're crushing it, because that one-to-many channel, I've watched a lot of them. And so I do encourage my listeners, look up Bertrand on LinkedIn and follow a lot of that content. It's fantastic. So moving us forward here, infrastructure. Obviously hot topic this year, and aligned to that, Oracle has deep product offerings across construction engineering, utilities, energy, and communications, amongst a whole lot of other verticals, obviously. While the Innovation Lab efforts initially launched out of construction and engineering vertical, walk us through those initial lab activities, engagements, partnerships, and ultimately the tangible results that led Oracle to wanting to broaden the Innovation Lab's mandate, I think it was late 2019, to all of these other verticals. And maybe on the back end, then more specifically to this community of listeners on the heavy hitters, how do the external startup innovation community fit into that future expansion?
Excellent question. So let's first talk about what is the key missions of the lab. So lab is a physical space where we test, explore, validate technologies. And the second functionality is to really provide hands-on experiences to our visitors. One of the key differentiators of this lab compared to other spaces is A, it's a simulated environment. B, it is, you know, everything we show is something you can take away and adapt to your work life. Look, I've been to many of these spaces myself. It felt like an exhibit or a museum. You know, it showed things like, here's what things are gonna happen 10 years from now, 15 years from now. We do need that, and there's a component of that on the lab, but a lot of the technologies that we showcase and integrations that are actually commercially available today. So these are the outcomes of our innovations. These are the outcomes of our partners' innovations, and we get a lot of feedback from customers. I think giving that, I'll say, making it real has had a huge success in the industries that we serve. Because it's really helping people go through that noise. And you know, in some of our customers even said, look, this sounds like innovation as a service. Because, you know, what we're doing is we're going through the noise and figuring out which technologies make sense and working with them on making the most use out of it. And it also is helping our own innovations. Like the good example is Construction Intelligent Cloud is our new product that is launched, I think, 3-4 weeks ago. What it does is it actually looks at the project management data and it makes some predictions. And the first one is based on schedule. And so how we use the lab for this is during the construction in 2020, we actually built a prototype of this. And we also matched it with partner data. What that means is, you know, in our project management solutions, we have, you know, as you can imagine, large sets of data, and our customers, when they acquire this product, they'll be able to utilize their own data. But we tried to see, okay, what if we take the schedule data and match it with another model of location data from a partner data? So that was our R&D. So that's a good example of how the lab is actually helping our innovations, but also, you know, with the support of our partners. We also learned a lot during the first 15 months of that first site, the one I mentioned, the simulated construction site. And what we did is, what we learned in the first 15 months, we actually implemented three of Oracle technologies plus 15 partner technologies to build the lab in Chicago in year 2020. So it was more like, hey, you know what, we tested, we validated, let's see where this takes us. So those are two examples. Another one I want to give you is what we've done with one of our partners, Faro. That's the, you know, as I mentioned, we had a LinkedIn Live last week because Faro is our partner. We gave them access to the site. And around 6 months testing, they developed integration with Boston Dynamics Spot. So then everyone saw that, you know, Spot can do way more than just dancing and getting 30 million views. Right?
It was a great dancing video. Let's give them that. But I do love how you guys bring it to the real world application. So I love that example.
Absolutely. And as you said, similar to when you and I bumped into Dan, we did a LinkedIn Live and showed the world in with live video and say, this is the workflow. This is how it works. You know, the key here is really enabling innovation. I think having that physical space, creating an environment where we can fail and learn is really key. One of your actually podcast speakers, David Wilson, who's been, you know, leading innovation at Bechtel, has been a big supporter of the lab. And he, I think it was maybe, I can't remember, maybe 6-8 months ago, he published a blog post, said fail fast, fail often is not an option at an active construction site. And he's absolutely right. If you think about it, right, if we try these technologies, you might have a lot of problems trying to do it on an active site. And he actually mentioned our innovation lab in Chicago as a place where these things can happen and we can test and validate technologies. And you asked the last question about startups. I know this is a long answer, but you also ask a lot of things here, so I want to address all of them. You know, with startups, if you think about it, our success also relies on building a robust ecosystem with partners and customers. And I also have to say this to our current partners, we would never be able to achieve what we have done without them. So I'm always say this, we're extremely thankful to their support and their resources and their collaboration with us. And we work closely with startups. Probably a good example is Reconstruct. Reconstruct is a startup started in University of Illinois. It was a research project turned into a startup, and they actually joined Oracle for Startups. And then, you know, they start using Oracle Cloud. And then we have two integrations with two of our products with them for scheduling and project management. So that's a good example of how we engage with startups. They were part of our program. And, you know, they evolved, their product developed, and now they're using our cloud. And in some ways, you know, our relationship is, you know, multiple folds, right? That's where it took us. Finally, our goal is really shape the future of industries. I think having that physicality is really going to enable us to do that.
No question. And just appreciate the clarity of thought with what you want to get out of it, what the startups can get out of it. And at the end of the day, there is some reality to how you can shape the future of industries. Love it. And I do have to throw out a shout out to my fellow Austinite, JD Weinstein, over there leading the Oracle for Startups North America effort. Been an amazing partner to me over the years. And I think more broadly, it just continues to impress me how well coordinated all of the Oracle innovation teams are and how well you all collaborate together. Definitely sets a high bar, in my opinion, again, when I benchmark against other groups. So hats off to all of you guys. So Bertrand, maybe the next question here, faster than ever, in my opinion, we're watching what I call big tech companies launch numerous vertical software solutions and partnerships with legacy industrial incumbents in order to further growth for both sides within a broad set of industrial industries that are now deep into their own digital transformation journey, as we've talked about on this podcast multiple times. So this topic of build versus partner versus buy in our ecosystem is now starting to get to be a tricky discussion with all the venture dollars at an all-time high backing more and more innovative startup and growth stage companies. How do you and Oracle think about this dynamic within industrial innovation?
So let's start with this in looking at those industries, right? Each industry is incredibly unique with its own set of challenges and opportunities. We all know there is no one size fits all when you're dealing with front-end applications. And the technology for a major pharmaceutical company needs to bring new treatments to the market is not in the same realm as what a utility needs to meet their aggressive decarbonization goals. So 14 years ago or so, Oracle realized that tech companies had to do better in meeting these distinct industry needs. And it created a dedicated group of business units focused on purpose-built front-end applications for 9 industries. Those are communications network, communication applications, financial services, retail, food and beverage, construction engineering, utilities, health sciences, and hospitality. So if you look at all this, right, so you kind of can see how they tie together in our day-to-day lives, right? These are the industries touch all of us who are listening and all the corporations that is our customers. Mm-hmm. To your question on buy versus build, the business units are combination of both. Along the way, Oracle has made a number of big and small acquisitions to help meet distinct needs of our customers, like Micros, which is in the POS, in hospitality, food and beverage retail, in the construction engineering space, it's Aconex and Textura, in the utilities, AllPower. But this is married with constant R&D and organic development too. So yes, we acquired these organizations which are best in class in their fields, but we do spend significant amount of money and resources on R&D and organic development. And the pandemic underscored the need for companies to accelerate innovations almost overnight. I mean, I mentioned restaurants, right? How you would do these things differently. When it comes to pharmas, how do you have a most aggressive vaccination development plans and implementations? So it is clearly important it's very important for us to invest into industries. We do believe in order to really, I'm going to make a bold statement, change the world, industries is the way to do that.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bold statement at all. I mean, it's imperative that we do upskill, evolve, and really bring some digital innovation into a lot of these environments. Like you said, they touch all of our lives daily. So great to hear there's a portfolio of efforts on your side. And so aligned with all the innovation going on, technology buzzwords are thrown around a lot nowadays, but those of us engaged deeply in innovation in industrial markets know success is much more defined around clear use cases that have an associated ROI over time that can be addressed by leveraging various technologies to support that goal, right? So your innovation lab meets with thousands of people, see numerous innovation vendors that provide you a vantage point, in my opinion, probably as close to bridging tech with legacy industries as it gets. So the question here, where are the emerging trends? And as we said more plainly on this show, what's hot and what's hype?
Let's start with what's hot. So artificial intelligence, machine learning, data analytics is hot. Computer vision and cloud is hot too. So if you look at those, the technology is evolving. It's coming to those AI, machine learning, data analytics, computer vision, and use of cloud is a lot more mature. It is getting to a place to really help us in industries. What is hype is, I want to say, augmented reality. And the reason is not the software, it's the hardware. The main reason for that is, if you try to use augmented reality hardware on a construction site, you're going to have issues with battery life. You're going to have issues with model sizes. And there's still some significant daylight, right? That's another one. There's still some, significant hardware issues. And then the digital twin. Like I always joke and say, if you're a startup in the industry space, you have to say, hey, two buzzwords you need to use. You have to say AI, and you have to say digital twin. I did mention AI is hot. It's because I think AI compared to digital twin is, especially with machine learning, has a lot more legs to it, and it's becoming a lot more common in the industries to use. Digital twin concept, again, is not new. We all know this has been out there for 30 something years, right? Like if you look at aerospace, if you look at how they built ships and airplanes and other things, or you know, heavy machinery, they've been using these technologies to simulate and look at the sensors and look at the models. So some cases you don't have to build prototypes, right? This is how you do it. But in the engineering and construction world, and in many other industries, it is absolutely doable, but it's still, I think, in the infancy stage.
Sure. And as a former Boeing and GE guy, I've been around the word digital twin for a while now, and I agree, lots of opportunity to figure out how to really leverage it, but how are we going to monetize it and what's the use case right now? I think we still have some defining to go. Maybe a sub question here, Bertrand, once you find an innovator to partner or pilot with at your lab, how do you put a firm structure and a clear expectation setting up front around what success and failure for that engagement looks like so that no one gets stuck in this infamous word pilot purgatory?
I think the important thing there is, I'll say don't oversell and share with us what works and doesn't work. You know, I think that is important. And for us, you know, we're going to try it with you, right? So to not stay in that pilot space, we're actually going to put it on the site. We're going to see your hardware or software work with us. So, you know, this way you're not actually going to get stuck in the pilot phase.
The podcast, we always like to bring it back to the founders out there who are listening that maybe think that Oracle Industries Innovation Lab could be a good partner for them. So let's, a couple of tips of what gets you excited about those companies when they approach you. And we always like to set them up for, hey, these are some keys to success for the discussion, and here are some common pitfalls and challenges to avoid as they enter the discussion.
I think one key thing is, I think they try, many of the founders focus on the tech, right? But the reality is tech is an enabler, and they need to really know what problem they're solving. What doesn't really work is when you have a technology which is looking for some problems to solve. I think, you know, starting from the problem and figuring out then what technology actually makes sense is the right way to go.
Great. Anything just like a common challenge you see them not prepared for to maybe just tip them off that could help them as they enter into either a pilot or just a general discussion with you?
Actually, I think I mentioned earlier, don't oversell it, right? I think, you know, that's one thing, because, we need to know what works and doesn't work. And they need to know what works and doesn't work. And I think the best relationships we had was when we can have honest conversations, right? They come in and say, look, I developed this. This is where I want to go. Here's what it does today. Here's what I think is going to do in 6 months. Here's what I think is going to do in 2 years. And again, I think we do the same, by the way. We tell them, okay, here's where we are today. Here's what works and doesn't work. And this is where we're heading. I think it all boils down to that, having that honest conversation.
That's right. Setting up a great partnership for the long term as opposed to figuring it out down the road. Agree. Awesome. Bertrand, well, we covered a lot of ground here. I always like to wrap up with our quick hitters section where I'm going to throw you some Q&A. And if you're ready, we'll just jump into it.
Perfect. Let's do it.
All right. Number one thing you look for when evaluating an external partner opportunity for the labs?
A good team to work with. Their culture and how, you know, as I said, honesty, as I said earlier, you know, we are finding a good team to work with and having that, you know, dialogue.
Always comes back to the team, for sure. What is one resource, book, podcast, blog, whatever you'd recommend to our audience to follow in the ecosystem?
Actually, I'm going to say LinkedIn because going back in time, look, that's my major source of information. I'm fortunate enough to have a large group of followers, but also follow a large group of people, have, you know, a good number of leaders in the industries, not just construction, but others that I'm connected with. I learn a lot by reading through it and understanding what's going on. And, you know, I think that's been very, very helpful to me.
Same here. Massively powerful tool if you curate it the right way, for sure. One person who should be on the podcast?
I want to say it's Tawa Ali, and she is the national. She is leading innovation for National Electrical Contractors Association. Actually, she is one of our trailblazers. I think it's actually August 2018. Yeah, it is August 2018. We started interviewing and publishing on blog post industry leaders, and our first was David Wilson. I have David's name mentioned twice on this podcast now. He was our first, and since then we interviewed amazing men and women who've been leading innovation in the industry space. And Tora is been one of those. She has excelled significantly, and I think she will be great to be on this podcast.
Excellent. And then finally, best way for folks to reach out to you?
I will go back to LinkedIn. So follow me on LinkedIn and message me. And I also would encourage everyone to follow Oracle Construction Engineering LinkedIn page, because we, you know, simulcast and publish things. And I think it will be a good way to be connected with the larger community.
Great. Well, really enjoyed it, Burchin. It's so important what you guys are doing over at Oracle to help drive the, I call it digital industrial agenda ahead. So really appreciate the efforts, and thanks for coming on the show.
And thanks for inviting me.